Blog Talk Radio.
Show where we study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and we study our people. And not only that, we study strangers, meaning different nations. We try to get a clear understanding of the dynamic of the relationship which the Most High expects of us, and which was he doesn't expect of us. Also in regards to that, we try to encourage you to meditate on the Word of Yah, to reflect on the Word of Yah, and to apply the Word of Yah to your day-to-day existence. That is the only solution that we find out in our studies what ails us. So if you bear with me a minute, I got to stop the dog from barking. Okay, hold tight. Sorry about that. We got that straightened up. And again, my apologies. I had to stop the bow wow from bow wow while we focus on our studies. We don't need any distractions. And most important, I want to make mention of a contemporary subject matter. You know, a lot of us with the Super Bowl rally in KC, it's a sad statement of affairs when we can't gather together even to rally people of the Super Bowl championship, although it doesn't mean anything to me one way or the other. It's just entertainment for me. But even that being said, we have been reduced to such a monstrosity that we think we own stock in a team. We don't even own one stock in either one of those teams. But we can't go anywhere with one another without some shooting, killing, name calling, and so on and so forth. And why is that, you may ask? Because we don't know who we are. We don't know who our brothers and sisters are. And because of that, we have little regard and a little esteem for our brothers and sisters. And because Cartrell and I know who we are and what we are, we face a decision. Become like others, or become like the Most High would have us to come, which is to love him with all your mind, heart, and strength, which Cartrell and I do, and our brothers and sisters, as I said, which Cartrell and I do. It's sad to say that not many follow those codifications, because if they did follow those codifications, there will be little or no violence among us. It's a sad statement of affairs. So without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend home from New York City and my fellow student teacher, Brother Cartrell from New York City. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Sure.
Bless y'all, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of our ancient fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yom Sufari, Shalom, how you doing? What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm doing okay, brother. You know, well as can be expected, but I'm grateful for the Most High for that. And I'm appreciative, and thank you for asking. How's you and your wife and your family doing?
Everybody's well. All praise to Yah. Shout out to Sister Nisanya. I miss my sister Abby Yah, her voice and her family. Hope she's doing well. Praying that she's doing well. I definitely miss her. But yeah, man. Yah is great. And the fact that we live in America and they can't even celebrate a Super Bowl championship without a shootout, it shows you the level that mankind has reached. Well, yeah.
Exactly.
We ain't just talking about Israelites. We're talking about mankind.
Mankind.
And that's just a small synopsis of what's going on worldwide.
Exactly.
Because in all actuality, we're in World War III. Russians are talking about putting nuclear weapons in outer space, which they're really concerned about. You got the United States in the Red Sea. What you know about the Red Sea? You got the United States in the Red Sea. Dropping bombs on the Houthis. Okay. You don't call it a war. But why y'all dropping bombs and they dropping bombs back on you? What would you call that?
I'd call that a skirmish of a war.
Oh, yeah. And this thing's going on. Shootouts at the Super Bowl. A woman crashed into a hospital in Texas and killed some children. When I look at it's spiritual.
Right.
The Most High is causing havoc amongst the nations.
Exactly.
You say we study ourselves, and we study the nations too.
Exactly.
And the nations are off the charts right now. America is divided by itself. They can't even come together on their laws. You see, they have a warehouse full of laws.
And they certainly
put up a law for the border, which they've been bitching and moaning and groaning about. And now they're playing games with it.
Exactly.
I don't know if you know what's going on, but I studied political science in college, and the most I got these people, these political minds, these leaders of this nation, their minds are turned backwards.
Exactly.
And they have no leadership on the horizon.
None whatsoever.
We in a year of election, and you got two elderly gentlemen, I won't call them gentlemen, but they up there in age. And they want them to be leaders, where they should be elders like us.
Exactly.
It's a time to be a leader, and it's a time to be an elder. Donald
exactly.
Trump and Joe Biden both should be in the category of what? Leader or elder?
Elder. Elder.
Okay.
That's true, my
brother. But this ain't just about you and I, because we got elders that's out there doing the job trying to bring our people together. And you can't just put the weight on the elders. The young people got to step up, right? Young people got to step up. It's like for America. Some young leader got to step up and make a better choice as opposed to choosing elders like Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. You're right, brother. You're certainly right. And let us not be negligent and mention Rafa, one of the major cities in Gaza where Samson passed away and where the Giants were. And they're talking about they want them to move from there now or back from where I bombed out to. And then I'm going to bomb this spot too. Come on, man. And mostly,
you know,
right.
I mean, that's rupture. But as we read the foundation of our history, we know that there were people in ancient past, like Amalek, who didn't give a damn about who they attacked. The elderly, the women, the children, which is why Yah had a vendetta against Amalek. Because Amalek won't attack you at your strong point. They'll attack you where you're weak. And that's what we're witnessing today. You push some people to Ramah, and now you, where are they supposed to go now?
They're going to go back to where they bombed at.
And how that works?
I don't know, brother. I guess they done cleared out the roads and built up housing for them to be in and food for them to get there. I guess they done got all this ready for them.
And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The Most High is watching all of this.
Exactly.
This is why he's going to judge all the nations.
Exactly.
They're going to read what they say. No.
And certainly he should, Kajir. And certainly he should.
Yep. And what did he say? He said he's going to turn their swords into plowshares and their swords into pruning hook. Nations shall no more war against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We're on the brink of World War III if we're not in it right now.
Exactly. You're right, Godrill. You're certainly right. Well, thank you, brother. Fellow students, Brother Cotran and I will proceed in the first segment of study in Shemuel. He's been approached by Yah the last chapter. He's getting acquainted with his relationship with Yah. And Eli has been indicted by the Most High and his sons. And so the things will come to fruition as far as Yah is concerned, as far as, and the funny thing about that, no, I'm not going to say that because I'll be putting the cart before the horse. But, and Kajriel will go into the second segment of study, and he would give you the correct pronunciation of this so-called book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Yom Suf will be in chapter 4 of First Samuel, but actually First Shemuel. Okay? So let's get started. Brother Cottrell doesn't have any more to share. We're ready to proceed.
No doubt.
Okay. Well, give me a second, Cottrell. The wife's coming home. I hear a car pulling up. Give it, fellow students, bear with us a minute. I got to open the door. Okay, my apologies. Let's get started. The ark is captured. Yes.
You had a conversation with your dog earlier.
Yes.
And I'm sure you didn't understand what he was trying to tell you. But I just figured it out. He was trying to tell you that Nasanya was on her way home and she should be here in about 10, 15 minutes.
Shut up, Contrail. Shut up, man. Maybe.
Check it. I wanted to say that because you said, I want to go back here and shut my dog off from barking. It's amazing how dogs understand human beings, but when they bark, they don't understand what they say. Because you can speak to a dog in Chinese, Russian, German, French, Spanish, English.
Right.
What are you going to do? Exactly what you told him to do. Sit down, roll over, go get the seat.
He got quiet. I told him, cut that noise out. Probably give you something to bark about.
He's trying to tell you.
You're correct.
Sonya's on her way, about 10, 15 minutes away.
Shut up, Katrina. Let's get started, fellow students. Okay, chapter 4. The ark is about to get captured by the Philistines.
They're looking for that ark now, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Now, Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. The Philistines encamped at Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of our brothers and sisters, men of the army in the field.
So, our
brothers. Yeah, go ahead.
You just read a name that should be familiar to all Christians who celebrate Christmas.
Ebenezer Baptist Church. Yeah.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes. And Ebenezer Baptist Church. I think that was Dr. King went. Ebenezer or something like that. Yeah.
But it was a city, a place on earth. Ebenezer.
A place
called not somebody's name.
No, not somebody's church. Okay. And when the people, hey, Brother Country, and when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has Yah defeated us today? He didn't say the Philistines. Yah has turned against us, so they understood. Before the Philistines. Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yah from Shiloh. They're trying to use that as a good luck charm. From Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save you from the hand of our... You can't use Yah as a good luck charm, people.
No. They didn't know anything about luck. What they knew is that in our history, Yah was supposed to be our protector, our shield, our high tower, our place of refuge. Anytime the enemy took advantage of us, it meant that something was wrong with
I concur on that, Cartrell. But they had no business taking upon themselves being to that degree to take that Ark of the Covenant anywhere. They had no business to.
They think it's going to be the ark, the materialistic, the material thing that's going to save them. What they didn't do was humble themselves, repent of the evil that they were doing, and ask Yah, to forgive them and fight their battles for them. They thought that the ark was a thing that they needed from the times of Joshua. We know Joshua was insane. Even though Joshua had the Ark of the Covenant, he moved the way Yah told him to move. They think just having an ark without command from Yah is going to save them.
Yes, he moved as Yah instructed him to move. He was not presumptuous in that matter, as our ancients were, as we still are, some of us are concerned. You cannot be presumptuous, thinking this physical entity in itself from the instructions and the consultation of Yah will get you anywhere. Unfortunately, our ancients thought that was the case. They found out shortly that wasn't the case. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yah from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. So the people went to Shiloh, that they might bring from their ark, bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yah of hosts, who dwells between the cherubims, and the two sons, no, they finna get theirs, the two sons, Eli, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the Ark of the Covenant of Yah. And when the
you got to stop right there. Because sons of Eli, what do we know about them? What was they doing?
What we know about them, they were vile men. They had no business being associated with that Ark of the Covenant period. They were vile men. They were stealing food. They were having sex with our sisters, and so on and so. They were vile men. And
so you already can see a disaster in the making. It's a disaster in the making.
Exactly. Praise
God. But that's how we are as a people. We make presumptions. In our minds, we got this power, and we be off with Yah.
Exactly. We can't be presumptuous, country.
Not at all.
And no, not with Yah, in no shape, form, and a fashion.
That's why we love King David. Because King David was never presumptuous, ever.
No.
He always followed what Yah told him to do.
Exactly. And
he messed up.
Right. As we all
King David messed up. Yeah, mm-hmm. King David messed up. He's a human being.
Yeah.
Every human being messed up.
Exactly. And that's dead on that, Cotriel. Thank you, brother. It's true. When the Ark of the Covenant of Yah came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. They went, they thought it was going to work out for them. And they shouted so loudly that the earth shook. They was happy and elated. But it ain't going to work out that way, Cotriel. It's called an effect, Cotriel. Yeah, the earth shook, but it's called an effect.
Listen. Mm-hmm. That tells you something.
Mm-hmm.
Our people have the power to shake the earth, whether they're right or wrong, when they come together.
You better believe it. You better believe
it. When we come together, right or wrong, in unity, we can shake the earth.
Yep. Well, ask those in Jericho. Well, they ain't here.
Oh, yeah.
Because we shook the earth. Thank you, brother. And they said, okay, did it. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? They didn't know what was going on. Then they understood, it came to them, that the Ark of Yah had come into the camp. As a result, the Philistines knew about this Ark of the Covenant. Obviously, why do I say that? So the Philistines were afraid. For they said, Yah has come into the camp, oh Lord, so to speak. And they said, woe unto us. For such a thing, this has never happened before, the Ark of the Covenant. And they even knew that. They said, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe unto us. Who would deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods?
So, Yasu.
Mm-hmm.
The ancient nations knew about power.
Yes.
And guess what? Do you think they still know about power today?
Yeah, they still want their power.
Which is why they use every ounce of their power to keep us away from knowing who we really are.
Exactly. Yeah, they love to keep us socially engineered in condition. See, we don't think about the LOM. We don't think about one another. We think about what we do think about, and we certainly don't think about, but what we do think about is foolhardy. That's a case of killing, mistreating, and abusing one another. In the case of Yah, I ain't got no time for him. I got some other things going on. Okay? And that's we are been reduced to a monstrosity. We let white folk tell us what to do. The white man said this. Katya, let me tell everybody a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard it once at a time. This young brother had money. He had bling, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He went into the jewelry store to buy him some jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
The brother told him, man, that ain't what you gonna pay for that ain't worth that much. You know what he told the brother? Oh, nigga, you don't know what you're talking about. See, that's how we are with one another, Katya. We have been reduced to such a monstrosity. We are crying shame, Katya. I literally mean a crying shame. We don't trust Yah. We don't love each other. We don't seek Yah counsel. And we certainly don't seek each other's love in our counsel. And thus, this our dilemma is true.
And with all that's going on, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our vision and our judgment is off.
Exactly.
As we see in the story. Their vision
exactly.
and their judgment was off. You think
exactly.
that the Ark of the Covenant is going to save you. Just like these Europeans out here right now trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the
mm-hmm.
Covenant is not the solution. You know what
mm-hmm.
the solution is? The Most High God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of mankind and all that's in there is, he's the solution. Not the
exactly.
Ark of the Covenant.
No. No.
That's why it can't be found now, because that's not the solution.
Because y'all don't want it found.
Yeah, I said I didn't say if you find the Ark of the Covenant, it's going to solve all your problems.
Exactly. They in lies our dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
We put too much in, right, where we shouldn't put things. We're too presumptuous. As our ancient was right then, they were presumptuous.
Trust me. If you try to advise them, like y'all on the wrong path, that Ark ain't gonna save you. That's not gonna help you beat the Philistines. You think they would have listened to you?
Oh, nigga, get on out of here with that. Anybody want to hear? You better set your mouth on and put our hands on you. Come on, Katya. You know how we do it. Our ancient did the same thing. Nigga, you better get on out of here with that.
Uh-huh. So prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, this is the dilemma that they were facing because Yah told them, go up to these hard-headed, knuckle-headed Israelites and tell them they're on the wrong path. Your solution
right.
for the problem is not going to work. They didn't listen to the prophets, did they?
No, they got worse and worse.
Oh, yeah. Just like now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like now. Yah I'm too far
yeah,
that nigga Patrick,
yeah,
them niggas is crazy. Talking about that Old Testament stuff. All right, okay.
We're good at doubling down on madness, Katya.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing what's right and turn around, we're good at doubling down in the madness. It's true.
So we're trying to introduce solutions that the Most High is giving us as his people that he chose.
Mm-hmm.
But you think that the philosophy and doctrines and religions and technology of man is the better way?
Exactly. Well, Katria, even the Philistines knew that was the first. Even the Philistines, hey, that ain't never happened before. The Ark of the Covenant in the camp, war camp.
Even they knew they was in trouble. They knew they was in trouble.
Because
they thought that Yah was with us because we had the Ark
exactly.
of the Covenant.
Exactly.
But Yah wasn't with us, even though you got the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, it's nice and everything. That's my
mm-hmm.
mercy seat. But Israel,
right.
I'm not with you. Look what you're doing.
Take him into a war camp. Come on, man. Stop it. Just do too much. Because we don't study too less and do too much, Katya. Bless his holy name.
And how about Eli and his two sons, right? Eli sent home, and his two sons is taking the Ark of the Covenant out to war against the Philistines. I'm sure
exactly.
they didn't consult him. I'm sure they didn't consult Eli. Their father.
No.
They just went out there. We're going to take this. We're going to win.
We're going to do what we want to do.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get the glory.
Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy was always set against them. Because
mm-hmm.
we read with Prophet Samuel, right? The Most High was calling him.
Yeah.
Samuel. He thought it was Eli.
Right.
Right? He said,
exactly.
I ain't call you. Go back in there. And when he calls you again, say, here am I.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, What did the Most High tell Samuel? He told the prophet Samuel, Eli's sons and Eli about to die. They about
exactly.
to die.
He ain't sugarcoat it.
No, he ain't sugarcoat at all.
Mm-hmm.
For violating my codes and my regulations. They're going down the same day.
Exactly. And which, you're going to find out, y'all don't lie.
Nope.
Thank you, Brother Kachel.
You don't to play with us. We're playing games with y'all. You don't play
yeah.
games with us.
Exactly. Thank you, Brother Kachel. Mm-hmm. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, Yah is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us. Who would deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are gods who struck the Midianites with all the plagues in the wilderness. They knew about it. Be strong and conduct yourself like men, you fellows. They tried to encourage one another. That you do not become servants of the... We don't, come on now, man up. We don't want to become servants of the Hebrews. As they have been to you, as they've been servants to us. Conduct yourself like men and fight. Regardless of y'all being in the camp, no matter what. So the Philistines fought.
I mean to stop you. Do you think universal white racial supremacy is saying the same thing?
You better believe it.
Oh, yeah.
You better believe it.
We don't want these niggas in charge of us.
Exactly.
Okay. Same situation, bro.
Thank you, brother. So the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated. Every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, well, the first time is 4,000, now it's 30,000. Total 34,000. Also, the
another
of the
lesson. Another
yeah.
lesson. I keep interrupting you. But that should be a lesson to us, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The first time we lost 4,000.
It ain't gonna get no better.
The second time we went out with our own understanding and we did worse than the first time.
Exactly.
Why did we do worse than the first time? What was the problem?
We didn't do no better for the dynamic of the relationship with Yah. And Yah taught us a valuable lesson. Stop being presumptuous, doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. It's not going to work for you. It's going to work on you, which it did for our brothers.
So in these two battles that we're reading about, they never thought to put the Most High, the God of our fathers, in a battle for them, did they?
Sad but true, Cartier.
They thought that they could do it on their own.
Exactly.
With the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, y'all going to do what I tell them to do, how I tell them to do it. When I said jump, y'all. You say hi. Come on now, that's nonsense. Yes, he taught him about it. And he teaches us the same valuable lesson, but we don't, as our ancients, we don't seem to get it.
That's why his lessons are there, so we do get it.
Exactly.
Can't repeat these mistakes that they made in the past.
Exactly.
Cannot go to war with anybody without the sanctioning, without the direction, without the guarantee of Yah that he's fighting our battles for us.
You better believe it, my brother.
You go out there with your brilliance. You got a 200 IQ. Okay, you try it. With your 200
you
IQ.
Okay.
See what I get you.
Not very far. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Ark of Yah was captured. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. They were killed. His clothes torn, dirt on his head. Hold on. I got to go down. Death of Eli, their father, the high priest. Then a man of the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn, dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was the high priest Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside watching. For his heart trembled, he knew what was coming, for the Ark of Yah. And when a man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of the turmoil mean? And the man came quickly and told Eli, the high priest. Eli at that time was 98 years old. His eyes were dim. He had cataract that he could not see. He was so old. Then the man said to Eli, the high priest, I am he who came from the battle. I fled today from the battle. I ran off. And he said, Eli, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, it's Benjamite. Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of Yah has been captured. And when it happened, when he made mention of the ark of Yah, that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken. Well, there go Phinehas and Hophni. I ain't laughing at him because it was a foregone conclusion. And he died, for the man was old and heavy.
Now, sir.
Yes.
Killed him was not the news that his two sons died.
Mm-mm.
With the fact that the Ark of the Covenant had been captured.
Exactly. Yeah. And the funny thing about it, and I'm not being facetious or ugly toward Eli the high priest, but it made mention of this fact. Thank you, Brother Contra. That the reason why this transpired, he said the man was old and heavy, meaning he was fat. But nevertheless, he had judged Israel 40 years. You know, but that being said, you can waste 40 good years knowing Yah and do one thing, and it's gonna kill you a little bit. You can't just know Yah 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatnot. You got to be on Yah team all the time. And the high priest Eli, because of his son, neglected his duty, didn't chastise or correct his children. They really let them do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And it cost the high priest, as it cost his sons. He's an old fat man. He's so fat he flipped up. Right. Flipped over and broke his neck. Go ahead, Katya.
Are the preachers in the church like Eli's son?
Katya. Don't let them preachers come to your house and you didn't cook one chicken. The little children are going to go hungry, okay? Don't let them preachers come to your house for dinner and you didn't cook one little chicken, one chicken. Them little children ain't going to eat tonight. They're going to eat oatmeal. Okay? Some of them preachers.
And they're doing the same thing that Eli's sons did to our people today.
Gorging themselves. Gorging themselves.
And so guess what? The same destiny awaits them.
Truth be told. Truth be told. Tell it like it is, Katya. Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
Same destiny awaits us. Because we already read, you know, we are special vine, we are special treasure, and he don't like when we're being led astray.
Right.
And Eli's sons, they had the power, and they was doing what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it, when they wanted to do it. They wasn't listening to their father Eli, and they all paid the price.
Exactly. Associate all of us, and we don't do what Yah tells us to do. It's just that simple.
And we got a chance. We got a chance because we're studying it.
Right.
We have a chance because we're studying our bad habits, human nature, because humans are compelled by impulses. Some humans can't control their impulses.
Exactly.
We have to learn how to control our impulses, because sometimes they be way out of control.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
My impulses got me out of control. That's how I became fat. Mm-hmm. My impulses were out of control. I'm like, yo, I have to check on that.
Mm-hmm.
I just love food. If I eat food, food's going to kill me.
Right.
Food will kill you.
It will, brother. Anything to the excess will kill you. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. Let's find out about this young fellow named Ichabod. It means without glory. And now he's, this little boy is to be born as the son of Phinehas, the priest. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of Yah was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband was dead, she bowed herself and gave birth. For the labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, she died in childbirth. The woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." And the reason why she named him this name, she knew the outcome was a foregone conclusion about her son, which means without glory. But she did not answer or respond, nor did she regard it. She didn't even look at the boy. Then she named the child Ichabod, like Ichabod Crane, saying, "The glory has departed from it." Even she knew that. Because the ark of Yah has been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel. So the ark of Yah has been captured." She knew this. She died as a result of her anguish, her disappointment, I suspect, in her husband and her father-in-law. And she knew the outcome for her son was a foregone. She didn't look at the little boy. She didn't name him Ichabod. He's going down.
So,
go ahead, country.
This is the daughter-in-law of Eli.
Exactly.
She's married to one of his two sons.
Exactly.
She's pregnant and has a son.
Exactly.
And all this disaster, all this tragedy is taking hold, effect on her.
Exactly.
And what does she do? She puts all that sorrow on her son by naming him what she named him. Do you think she should have did that?
Well, seemed like to me she had no other choice because it was the truth.
Well, she had a choice.
Yeah, lift
us up out of this situation.
Yeah.
It seemed like she just added to the situation by naming her son what she did.
Exactly. And Cottrell, even though we have been reduced to a monstrosity as a people, we ain't going too often name our boys Ichabod. Okay?
What kind of name is that?
What kind of name
would you name your son Ichabod?
Hell to the no.
Oh, no.
No.
That's a tragic name.
Yeah.
That's a name of sorrow.
Right.
What effect do you think that had on him?
Right.
He's a baby. He's innocent. That weight
right.
shouldn't be placed on him.
Right.
Should
it? No. Shouldn't.
No way, no how.
No way, no how, brother. I concur with you on that. But she was so full of self-pity and anguish. She didn't think about it. She didn't pray about it. She just responded, you know, in the physical sense of the word, instead of praising Yah and asking Most High, you know, help me name my baby. I know he ain't going to live past his youth, but help me give him a name like Yah, glory shall be restored in Israel, something to that effect. Not Yah has left his no glory in Israel. Come on now. You're right, country. Yeah. Yeah.
There is no glory in Israel. Is there supposed to be glory in Israel?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's turn the beat around. Turn the beat around.
Yeah. The glory of Israel shall return. Some of that something. But when we become toxic people, Cottrell, we double down on the toxicity.
And you just doubling down. You just adding woe to woe, misery to misery.
Misery to misery. Going,
yeah. It shows her mind wasn't right.
No.
Let's stop the madness. Because we got to stop the madness.
Somewhere, Katria. Somewhere, some shape, form, or fashion. Stop the madness. Brother Katria, that was a very informative study about the dynamic and relationships with our people, with Yah, with each other, and how it should be quite different than that. and stop being toxic and poisonous people, no matter what you know Yah said. Don't call your baby Ichabod. No. Says that the glory of Israel shall return by Yah, something like that. Name the baby that. It's got you alluded to. You know, don't add misery on top of it, but we have become such a toxic and poisonous people. It appears that's what we seem to do. Add toxicity on toxicity. Instead of backing away from it, going to the Most High in prayer and seeking his advice and so on and so forth, we elect to be reduced to self-pity and sorry, self-sorrow for oneself and not looking out for our future. We need to start looking out for our future. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cartrell, any closing remarks or comments in that regard as far as these studies are concerned?
Yeah, that baby Ichabod, who she named him, didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve that. He had nothing to do with that situation. He's an innocent child coming new into the world.
That's true.
But you put that burden on him. Don't do that. That's not fair to him.
No, it's not fair.
So they knew in ancient times the power of names.
Yeah.
And for his mother to do that to him, we got to check ourselves.
Well, they still do it. Ronald, Stephen, George, Carl, Peter, Paul. Come on, man. We still doing it.
It's not in the naming.
Right.
It's when we break up and our women start talking about how bad your father was.
Right.
If my father was so bad, why'd you get with him in the first place?
Exactly. Exactly.
And you just like your father.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard that before. You just like your
father. Exactly. Oh, mama, you say that all the
time. Okay.
Mama, you say that all the time.
And that's in a negative connotation. What positivity are you trying to say that I'm just like my father?
Yeah.
Are you saying it in a positive way or you saying it in a negative way?
Right. And we say it in a negative way. But the fact of the matter is I love my father. He taught me work ethics. You know, he taught me not to lie. But I didn't fool with him because of the things he did to the family, per se. My brother, Ricky, called me one day. I think there was days I cried over that at the funeral. But days before that, he said, "Hey, man, I'm talking to Dad. He want to say," I said, you tell him he ain't did nothing for me. Which I could have conceded and gave him what he did do for me and giving me good work habits and teaching me not to steal and not to lie and whatnot. But I just saw all the bad he had put on a brother that I had to work through, my brothers and sisters had to work through. And so, no, well, you wrong. I don't care who you are. I'm a brother, sister, daddy. If you wrong, you know, it's hard for me to fool with you, especially if you're the fact you don't come and tell me you sorry. And you just act like it's all right. It's all right to say to me and to treat me any way you want to treat me. No, I ain't that kind of brother. If you did me wrong, you need to come to me and acknowledge me. Don't tell me, can we just all get along? I'm not that kind of brother. You got to come to me correctly. I'm sorry, I did you wrong, bro. I'm dead to the wrong. I'm sorry. But don't act like you ain't did me wrong when you know you did me wrong. It ain't going to work like that, bro. It ain't going to work for you. All right, Cartier.
Yeah, most people don't step up and be accountable for their responsibilities.
Right.
Or for their actions. But the godly way is to man up and be accountable for the things that you've done. That's why King David is so important to us, because he manned up and he took accountability for all the wrong that he did. As great as he was. We're human. We ain't as great as King David.
Right.
And trust me, if you try to walk around like you ain't did nothing wrong, I know you're lying.
Exactly. We all do.
I know you. you innocent from birth. Yeah. And you've never done anything wrong? Okay.
Bro, you know what I tell people? I say, worry about the skeletons in your closet. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Clean them up. I said, but see, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm cleaning up the whole cemetery at night, okay? I'm doing graveyard removal, okay? So yep. I'm like King Howard. I don't try to make myself better than nobody else because I know the dirt I'm dealing with. It's just other folk don't know the dirt they're dealing with, okay?
And that's when deception and lies and deceit comes in. And people who try to portray themselves as perfect, righteous, upright, they ain't never done no wrong. They can't be wrong. That's when you're being presumptive.
Exactly.
Because you know, Mosiah said, I'm looking from heaven to see if any does righteousness. Mm-hmm. What did he find? There is none. No, not any.
Exactly. Okay. That's everybody. Everybody got dirt on them.
Yes, sir. And we have to repent for the things that we may have made mistakes or the wicked things that we've done, because we all done something.
Exactly.
I used to rob my mother of her coin jar.
Right.
I try to hide from her. No.
That's stealing. I admit.
Huh?
That's stealing.
Right. I'm stealing from my mother's jar. I'm trying to make it live. She ain't giving me no money. She ain't giving me no allowance. It's good. She ain't going to miss it. But I have to admit, no, I robbed my mother. I stole from
her. And that's dead on that. And that's dead on that, brother. You robbed your
mother.
And
she was counting on that money she was saving.
Yep.
But I was robbed.
Like I did. That's why I always tell people, you worrying about them little skeletons in your own closet. And I'm just like King Dog. My iniquity of numerous as the hairs on my head. I'm lower than a dog, a worm. I don't try to put myself as like I'm better than somebody, but I try to do better than somebody. But that don't make me better than somebody. Okay? I don't try to do what I used to do. Therein is the difference with King Darwin. He didn't sugarcoat it. He put it on out there in Front Street. And we need to all learn to put things on Front Street with y'all. You ain't fooling nobody.
You're certainly not fooling me, y'all. You certainly are not fooling the Most High. He got a record of everything we do, and it's best to confess, acknowledge your sins, acknowledge you submitted to your impulses, your compulsion. You wasn't thinking straight at the time, and you want to do better. And you better do better. Once you find out, I was on the wrong path, yo. You better do better, straighten up and fly right. Because you can't go to Yah and say, I did wrong, I was wrong, and then do it again and try to ask him for forgiveness again for the same thing you just did that you asked him for forgiveness before. No, Yah wants you to get it right. So the beauty of Yah, he gives us a chance to get it right.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Brother Gautrell. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
All right, fellow students, Brother Cartrell and I, we are done with this segment of the study of Simuel. Cartrell is about to proceed to the sixth chapter of Yeshaya. And while Cartrell is going to give, his pronunciation is better than mine, chapter six. Cartrell, you have the mic, brother.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for our kings, our priests, our prophets, who impart wisdom unto us in the writings that they left behind. Writings written in stone to the Greek, they've been preserved that we can read them. And we in the prophet Yeshayahu, four syllables, Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu, Yah is salvation. And in the sixth chapter of the book of Yeshayahu, the prophet of the Most High, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Yah sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Yah of hosts. Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Zevaoth. Holy, holy, holy is Yah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And we just read about glory, right? Somebody naming their son, the glory of Yah is departed from us. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I say, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Yah of hosts. Amazing sight, right? The vision that Isaiah is having right now. You would think that he was on LSD or some mushroom drug. He's seeing Melo King with six wings.
Yeah.
How will we respond if we saw that?
Ooh.
Then one of the seraphim, if you're worried about aliens and UFOs and all that, trust me, seraphims are still in. Seraphims are not like mankind. Seraphims are everlasting. They don't die. These same seraphims are still there with six wings. What do you say about the wings? Two covered face, two covered feet, with two he flew. They still there. He said, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. How many of us need that? I think we all need that, right? For an angel or seraphim to touch our lips and to tell us your guilt, whatever guilt you have, is taken away. That would be a blessing. And your sin is atoned for. And this sin being atoned for is not by way of Yah sacrificing his son on the cross. Because that's what Christians believe. Yah could take away your sins and your guilt by way of a seraphim. Do we see that? Can y'all see that? That's what he did for the prophet. Yeshayahu. He took away your sins and took away his guilt by way of a seraphim. Not by way of a sacrifice, but by way of a hot coal. I'm sorry, my computer just went bust. All right, I'm back. It says, the one seraphim flew to me, having his hands with the burning coal, and he's taken with tongs from an altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sins atoned for. And I heard the voice of Yah saying, whom shall I send, and who will go forth for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go, and say to this people, what people? The nation of Israel. Keep on hearing, Israel, but don't understand. Ain't that us today? We hear, but we don't understand, do we?
Exactly.
Keep on seeing, but don't perceive. There's so many things going on in the world today, but our people don't really understand what's going on. Make the heart of this people dull, and that's where we are, because we've been dumbed down, miseducated, the miseducation of the Negro. And their ears are heavy and blind their eyes. Our people can't even see and can't even hear. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. Understanding comes in the heart, not in the ears, not in the mind. When you understand, it goes as deep as the heart. And turn and be healed. Because we need healing. We need to heal. We need to see and we need to understand in order to be healed. Then I said, how long, Yah? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabited, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and Yah removes people far away, for the sacred places are many in the midst of the land, which means that man ain't gonna listen to the word of Yah until Yah exacts judgment. And what kind of judgments? He lays cities waste without inhabitants. He makes houses built without people, lands desolate and waste. And Yah removes people because they're not listening to him. And the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a turban or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. So even though Yah destroys, you can see when forests burn or volcanoes erupt, like in Hawaii, there's always that seed that brings new life. So with destruction comes creation and rebirth. And the earth needs to be destroyed and reborn. And that's what's going to happen. All praises to the Most High. Holy Yah.
All praise, brother. All praise. There was an informative instruction from the Most High by way of Cartrail. We pray that you take these matters to heart. They are something serious, not to be toyed with or taken lightly. They're serious. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cartrail, what's your closing remarks and comments in these studies?
My prayer and my hope is that these words that we've shared with the world today go into the hearts of people where they meditate and really gain understanding. Because these words that we read aren't just words. We may see them as just words as human beings, but from what we're gleaning, Yah means what he says, and he says what he means. And he doesn't play with his words. We play with words, but he doesn't. So I hope we meditate on the words that we study and take them to heart so we gain true understanding. Because we love Yah, we know Yah loves Yah, and we're trying to get it right, to get on the right path. So we're thankful to Yah that he's given us the vision and the path to follow. And we pray that he gives us strength to fulfill and follow it fully through all the way. We love Yah. And most our blessings. Shalom and good night.
Thank you, Brother Cartier. As my brother said, keep it real, so to speak. We love y'all. Praise and bless the Most High. Shalom and good night.
See their dreams, only the willing. Stand. Shalom, peace.